Good morning. Today's daf in Megillah Chav Dalet. We're in the Mishnah, the Bam of Chav Gimel Beis, here in the third parak of the Masechta. So the topic has been and will continue to be Kriyas HaTorah. So all the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah are concentrated within this parak. So let's continue. Hakor b'Torah lo yivchos mishosh pesukim. So when you're reading from the Torah, so an aliyah could be no less than three pesukim, minimum of three pesukim. V'lei karu l'maturgam m'yosrim y'pasuk echad. Now, as far as the maturgam is concerned, so you have to go pasuk by pasuk. So, just a quick word of the Meturgamon. So, we don't know what the Gemara is talking about. I mean, it's very, very easy to understand. So, back in the day, so they would read a pasuk, and then someone would translate for everybody. So, the spoken language back in the good old days was the language of Aramaic. And so, on top of that, they also had a Targum. They had a translation of the Torah into Aramaic. So, in the beginning of our Masechta, all the way back on Dav Gimel, so we assigned authorship of who was responsible for the Targum. So on the Torah, that's Unklus, on Navi, Yonasan ben Uziel, and on Ksuvim, okay, so discussion over there in terms of whether or not there was or there wasn't a Targum. Regardless, there's a Targum, and that's how people understood the Torah back in the good old days. And so when you read the Torah, so not everyone was familiar with Lashon HaKodesh or didn't understand it so well, so to make it well understood, so you read a pasuk in the Torah and then you translate, you read the Targum. Okay, nowadays, so why don't we do it? So I know why, but let me offer up the, you know, what probably should be the correct reason why, and that's because it's going to go totally unappreciated. Meaning you read the pasuk in the Torah, okay, good, that's one pasuk, that's one sentence I don't understand. Now you're going to read Targum, that's the second sentence I don't understand. So in other words, it doesn't speak to us, and we don't speak Aramaic. So therefore, it's not done bizmanenu. Okay, it's not. Okay, good. It's not a satisfying explanation because then, of course, why not just simply shift into a language that people do understand? Okay, but even to that though, I can think in my head. I'm thinking that that there's something. In other words, the Targum itself is not just a translation, but it's part and parcel of Torah Shebaal Peh, and it has an authentic. Nature to it that kind of gets lost in translation with other languages. Okay, anyway, regardless. So we're going back to a time where this is how they used to do it. They used to read a pasuk in the Torah and then targum. So when you're doing Torah, you got to do one pasuk at a time. Pasuk targum, pasuk targum. However, uvenavi, the contrast over here is we're now in the top of Chavdal Amid Aleph, uvenavi shlosha. Now, when it comes to Navi, so what you could do is, and when you're saying Navi, so you're saying Navi every week. In other words, what's called Haftarah. So when you're saying over Navi, so there you could do three psukim at a time. And so the Baal HaNavi, the Baal Maftir now, is the Baal HaFtorah, so he'll say three psukim, and then the Metargim will just simply summarize the three psukim. So what's the difference between Torah and Navi? So Rashi over here says it really clearly. And that is that when it comes to Torah, we're talking now about Halacha. So every word, every pasuk now, it's really important that we get a correct interpretation of every pasuk. But when it comes to Navi, I'll read the Rashi, because Rashi says it really strongly. Im Yirtza, the top Rashi on Chavdal Med Aleph. Im Yirtza, and first of all, by Navi, it doesn't have to be that you have to say three psukim over. It just simply means that if you just want to go three psukim in and then translate, that's fine. V'lo ich palanim yete. Now, what happens if you make a mistake? So Rashi says it's not that bad. D'lo nafka mina hora, because there's no halacha coming out of the Navi. The Navi's Musar. So the Navi's not halacha. Okay, so you make a small mistake in the Navi, it's not the end of the world. The Rashi says. Hayu shloshtam shalosh parshios karin echad echad. As the Gemara is going to point out, there are not that many examples, but the Gemara is going to give an example. So let's say you're reading Navi, even though we were just given an allowance in the Mishnah where you can go three psukim in with and then do the Targum. However, if it happens to be that in the Navi, it's broken up, the three psukim are broken up into three separate parshios, so then you got to read one pasuk at a time, meaning you got to respect the natural breaks that occur in the Navi. Mendalgam Navi ve'im medalgam Torah. What you could do is you could skip around in Navi, but you can't skip around in the Torah, meaning as you're reading from the Torah, for whatever reason, we'll give some later, you need to skip around, so the Mishnah says you can't. You're not allowed to skip around in the Torah, meaning you got to stay on this column. However, by Navi, you could skip around. So, Ve'ad Kama, now even though we're just given an allowance in the Mishnah to go and skip around in the Navi, so Ve'ad Kama Umedalig, Ad Kidei Shelo Yifsok HaMiturgaman. But make sure that the laps over here, in other words, when you're skipping. Now, mind you, back in the good old days, so when they skipped, so that meant they had a roll. Okay, and that's even true by Navi as well. Okay, and we're so used to books and Sfarim that it's, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to figure. Meaning, what if we want to jump from one Navi to another? So we turn the pages. And, okay. But back in the good old days, everything was scrolls. So whenever you skipped, that meant that you had a roll. Okay, right, two days ago. When we had to read the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh, you have to roll the Sefer Torah. Okay, so if your Gabbai is good, so he'll do so before davening. But if your Gabbai is, you know, a little bit sleeping on the job, happened to me. So what's going to happen now is that he's going to be rolling and everyone's going to be waiting. And that is not covered at Tzibur, it's Tircha de Tzibur. So the Mishnah is telling us that as long as the lapse, in other words, if in fact you're going to be skipping in the Navi, in the Torah you're not allowed to skip at all. We're going to qualify that sentence momentarily. But if you're in the Navi, you're going to skip. So that's fine. But as long as there's no dead time. So that means to say that, look, you're going to be reading for the Navi, and the Meturgerman is going to be translating. So, you're right, he's going to now be able to give you, whatever, a half a minute. I don't know how long he's going to go, but I'm sure everyone's going to know about how long he's going to go. So you're allowed to skip in the Navi, but provided, of course, that there's no dead time, meaning that you're ready to go and continue reading immediately after the Metargum has finished translating whatever Pesukim you gave him. Good. So in the Mishnah, some very basic halachas regarding Kriyas HaTorah, regarding Haftorah. The Gemara goes on to discuss some of the points over here. Hani Gimel Pesukim Keneged Mi. The idea that an Aliyah can only have must have minimum three Pesukim. So what does that come? Where is that coming from? Once again, we're going back to our Ramazim, meaning allusions and connections in terms of what is the significance of the number three. So Amar Rav Asi Keneged Torah Nevi Muksuvim. So the three different categorizations of Tanakh. So that is the significance of the number three. Hopefully this sounds familiar. Just a couple of days ago, we discussed this in relationship to the fact that there has to be three aliyahs. And so this is one of the Ramazim that we gave just a couple of days ago in terms of why three aliyahs. This is a little bit different, not much, but a little bit different. This is a remez to how there should be in every aliyah a minimum of three psukim. Okay. Lo yikra lemetorgam yoser mi pasuk echad. Uvenavi gimel psukim. Okay, so here, I know it sounds familiar, it's our Mishnah. So when it comes to the Kriyas HaTorah and the Meturgaman, so one pasuk at a time. Uvenavi gimel psukim. Vim hayu shloshim shosh parshios kore echad echad. Now, once again, if it turns out that in the Navi, so you are reading a parsha in the Navi that is broken up, meaning there are natural breaks in the Pesukim. We have a Mesorah in terms of how the parsha starts to be broken up. I say parsha over here. I don't mean like the Sedra, like parsha Shavua, but in other words, you open up Sefer Torah and you'll see that part of our Mesorah is that we have breaks between various parshios in the Torah. So if that in the Navi, you have three psukim, but each pasuk represents its own parsha. It has a break. So then the meturgam cannot go three at a time, but you have to do one, one, one. Kigon. And so the Gemara here cites an example. Yishayahu nun beis. Okay, you'll be happy. No, I looked it up this morning. Kicho amar Hashem chinam nimkartim. Kicho amar Hashem elokim mitzrayim yaradi mi b'rishana v'atam ali po ne'um Hashem. Okay, so you look it up over there. They're small breaks. It's not. They're not major breaks, but nevertheless, they are broken up, and therefore, when reading it, Yishayahu nun beis, part of it is the Haftorah for Parsha Shoftim. I looked it up this morning, so help my memory. But anyway, you have to, when you're Metagim, you have to do it one pasuk at a time. Continuing in the Gemara. Medagim Menavi Ve Medagim Torah. So you could skip a Navi, but you can't skip in Torah. So Urim Minhu. So the Gemara says, what the Mishnah is saying doesn't seem to be accurate. Why? Because, let's go back to what we learned back in Yuma. Kore achrei mos v'ach ba'asur. So what is the Kriya going to be on Yom Kippur? So the Kohen Gadol, as part of the Kriya, right, when the part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, after the Avoda, there's going to be a Kriyas HaTorah. And so what he's going to do is he's going to be Kore ba'achrei mos. So achrei mos is the 16th parak of Vayikra. And then v'ach ba'asor. Then he goes to Parshas Amor. Now Parshas Amor is Perich of Gimel. Okay, it's not in the same column. It's number of columns ahead. And what the Kohen now is going to have to do as he's going from the Parsha of Achrimos to the Parsha of Amor is he's going to have to roll. And so what just happened over here is that what our Mishnah seems to be saying is not correct. Our Mishnah says, by Sefer Torah, you can't skip it all. And meanwhile, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, so that's exactly what he's doing. So v'haka medaleg, so the Gemara's question over here, really easy to understand. How do you understand our Mishnah in light of what we know regarding the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? So Amar Rabbi Lokasha kam bechtesh, yivsaka togerman kam bechtesh, lo yivsaka togerman. So the Gemara says, well, if there's no lapse in time, so then it's going to be okay. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'hala ketani. What about our Mishnah? Medag menavim ve medag metar ve'ad kamu medalagat kedesh lo yivsaka togerman. Mechlal de betar klal klal lo. Meaning, I'm going to make a really simple diuk in the Mishnah. The Mishnah makes it sound like, yes, you could skip in the Navi, provided that there's no lag, there's no dead time. What it sounds like in the Mishnah is that by the Navi, as long as there's no dead time, you could skip. Sounds like by the Sefer Torah, you can't skip at all, period. So, Elam Rabbi Elokasha, coming in, Echa, Kam B'Shtein Yenos. Ah. So, Abai says, okay, so what we're going to do over here is that we are going to... what we're going to do over here is that we are going to make another distinction, a new distinction. And that is that it depends whether or not you're on the same topic, the same theme, or you're going from topic to topic. So by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, so you're going on the Parsha of Achrimos, which is the Avod of Yom Kippur, and you're going to go from there to Parsha Semer, which also has to do with Yom Kippur, meaning you're staying thematically on the same topic. So even a Sefer Torah, you're allowed to skip. Again, with the proviso that there can be no dead time, so the amount that you're skipping is going to have to be a small enough amount, the gap between them is small enough, so that by the time the Torgerman finishes translating, so now you're ready to, the Baal Kori is ready to go ahead and continue reading. Good. But when it comes to Navi, so not only are you allowed to skip, but you're even allowed to go from one topic to another topic. Okay. Rashi over here gives the example. So let's say you're reading from the Torah and you're going from the Parsha of Negaim to the Parsha of Zavim. Oh, that's two different topics. Okay. But going from one area of Yom Kippur to another area of Yom Kippur, that's the same topic. And so this is the distinction that Abaye makes, v'hatanya. And the Gemara over here, this hatanya is not a question, it's a nichusa, it's supportive now of exactly what Abaye just taught us. Medalgin b'tor b'inyanechad v'navi b'shnei nyanim kam v'kam b'chtei shalu yivsek ha-tor gaman. Okay, so you are allowed to skip both in the Torah and in the Navi, but when it comes to the Torah, it has to be in Yanechad, and when it comes to Navi, you can go and jump around, not only from one place to another, but even from one topic to another topic. Tanya,
okay, right.
I also thought Rashi's examples were interesting. Yeah. Tanya Idach, we learned in a brisa in medalgam navi lanavi v'navi shoshne masar medaleg uvavashelo yidaleg misofa sefer l'tchilasa. Okay, so even though we are by navi, we're given more allowances in terms of how much we could skip, and we could skip from one topic to another, but you can't jump from one Navi to another. So you can't go from Yeshayahu to Sefer Yecheskel. Meaning, so you can jump around within Sefer Yeshayahu, but that's it. You have to stay within a Sefer. As far as Treyasar is concerned, so Treyasar is considered one Sefer. So you can go from one Pasuk in, from one Navi in Treyasar to another Navi in Treyasar. So even though Treyasar is broken up into 12 Neviim, but nevertheless, the entire Sefer is considered one Sefer, and so therefore you can go from one Navi to another Navi within Treyasar. And the only thing that you can't do is you can't go backwards. So in other words, so you can skip forwards, but you can't skip backwards. Okay. So
from beginning to end, you could skip?
Again, as long as there's no lag, as long as there's no dead time.
What's the difference if it's backwards or forwards?
It's a good question. Previously, Rashi, but the Rashi I'm about to cite is really regarding Inyan Echad and Shnei Inyanim. So Rashi says that the issue becomes Tirif Hadas. It just simply becomes too confusing for people. Okay, but even though I'm citing the Rashi, that Rashi is really explaining the difference between Inyan Echad and Shnei Inyanim. I'm not sure if it really answers your question. Your question is, why not go backwards? I'm proposing that maybe the issue is also Tirif Hadas. But I don't know if I'm right. Hamaftir Benavi, we're now continuing, we're in the Mishnah on Chavdalet Ahmed Aleph. Hamaftir Benavi, who poris Hashmav, who overlif Neateba, who knows his Kapov. Okay, so the one who gets Haftarah. So over the years, things have changed. So the person nowadays who gets Haftarah, so he's sponsoring Kiddush, right? He's getting all the honor and all the covet. And so, okay, what happened over the years, I don't know. Back in the good old days, so if you got the Haftarah, So it's a consolation prize. So it's no fun winning a consolation prize. And so therefore, basically what you want to do is you want to pad his stats a little bit. Okay, I'm sorry for the sports reference. So the so but what you want to do? You want to give him other kibudim because I know I'm presenting one approach in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to give two approaches, but you want to present him other kibudim because what did he do? He read from the Navi. Back in the day, it was not terribly exciting to get maftir. So what are some of the other kibudim that you give him? So he's paris al shma, meaning he's going to say baruchu and the brachas of shma. Over lifnei hatevel, davish mon esrei. But nowadays, it's well understood that who's ever starting the Shema is also going to be the one who's going to be doing the Shemon Esrei as well. And the Chazar Sashat, it sounds like from our Mishnah that there used to be a minhag that was broken up amongst different people. Okay. And who knows, there's Kapav, and on top of that also is going to be Duchening as well. You get this... sorry. I'm good. I think so. I think I am. So you get the sense in the Mishnah that not every Kohen would be Duchening. Now, it's nowadays, it's, you know, it's all hands on deck and everybody gets up there and every Kohen is going to be Duchening. You certainly get the impression in the Mishnah that that's not necessarily the case. Why? Because our Mishnah is clearly stating that you're going to be Mechabed, meaning, so for this Kohen now who's doing the Haftarah, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, he just said the Haftarah. Okay, so you know what? We'll give him the covet of Duchening. So that's certainly the impression you get in the Mishnah. Now, the Imhaya Katan. Now, let's say, who is the Baal Maftir? The Baal Maftir is a Katan. Okay, we learned in yesterday's daf. Katanim can get Aliyahs, and Katanim can certainly do Haftarah as well. Okay, our minhag nowadays, it's an old minhag. It's not a new minhag. Our minhag nowadays is the Katanim don't get Aliyahs. Okay, I know Simchas Torah, right? There's what to talk about. Okay, but the minhag nowadays is, I'm sorry. Put the minhag aside. The halacha is, as the Gemara itself just recorded, that a katan can get aliyahs and certainly haftarah. Now you have a katan doing the haftarah. Now what did we just learn in the Mishnah? So you're going to be giving him all these other kibudim. You can't have the katan doing chazar sashatz. So you need a gadol. You need someone who's an adult and a bar chiyuva. So now what do? So the Mishnah says the solution is actually pretty simple. Aviv Araba over mal yado. So now in terms of who's going to be davening for the Amud, so you're not going to give it to the Katan to daven for the Amud, so you give it to his Rebbe, you give it to his father. Katan Kore B'Torah Mitar game. So as far as the Katan's concerned, so he could do Kriyas HaTorah, we learned in yesterday's daf, but now we're seeing it in the Mishnah, and Mitar game, and also if the Katan is capable of saying Targum, so I have him doing that as well. Aval Eino Paris HaShema, Veino Over Lifnei HaTeva. But as far as Priestess HaShema is concerned, the Brachos of Shema, so it opens up with Baruch Hu. Obviously, that's a Davar Shebekdusha. You need a Gadol. And over Lifnei HaTeva, that's Chazar Sashat. So you need people who are Baruch Yuvim. Obviously, the Katan's not a Gadol. And so he can't be Motzi other people. Ve'eino no says Kapav. Additionally to that, the Katan cannot Duchen. I'll come back to that point in just a moment. I'll amplify that point a little bit more in just a bit. Pocheach. Now, let's say somebody is not, somebody has his legs exposed. So, pores es shma. So, as far as shma is concerned, so fine. So, that's acceptable. Mid targum. And as far as targum is concerned, that's also acceptable as well. Aval enu kore b'torah. But somebody wearing shorts should not be reading from the Torah. Ve'enu over lifnei hatevel should not be davening for the Amud. He should not be doing chazaras hashatz. Ve'enu no seis kapav, and he shouldn't be duchening as well. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain. It's an issue of kavanah Torah. Okay. Suma pores es shma mid targum. Now, as far as the suma is concerned, so paris is a shema. So to say the brachas of shema, even though one of the brachas of shema is yotzer hamaoros, it is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the sun, the moon, and all the luminaries. And obviously the Summa is in a position right now where he can't see it. But nevertheless, the Tanakam is of the position that it's okay. In other words, that the fact that he himself can't see it, so still, nevertheless, paris is a shema. Mid targum, and on top of that also, he could do targum as well. Now, Kriyas HaTorah cannot do, because Kriyas HaTorah, you need to see the words, and he can't see the words. So Kriyas HaTorah can't be a Bakare, but to do Targum is understanding. In fact, one of our greatest Targumim in history is Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef was a Summa. So for him to do Targum is perfectly acceptable. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Koshal Abra Maros Miyamav Eino Paras HaShema. Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that somebody who never saw, blind from birth, so, Eino Paras HaShema, So he's not in a position right now where he can really get hana from the luminaries. And as a result of that, he's not going to be in a position where he could say the brachas Hashma and be most of the other people, because Rav Yehuda understands, and the Gemara is going to be very clear about this, that the brachas Hashma is really a function of hana'a. He's not getting the requisite hana'a, and so therefore he's not a brach yuva, and therefore he can't be most of the other people.
I guess heat from the sun doesn't count as a ball. It has to be a visual thing.
Now, what's that?
You can get
the Chachamim obviously disagree with Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara is going to go over the back and forth between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda.
Privately, you could say,
yeah, you're right. Correct. The issue over here is being mostly other people. Okay. The Nesias Kapayim. Our Mishnah said unequivocally that a katan cannot duchen. And obviously, we're talking about a katan who's a kohen, so a katan can't duchen. Again, just looking at what we see on a regular basis. And when I say we, so we Ashkenazim do not see it on a regular basis, but still, we all know. So when it comes to duchenim, katanim get up there and they duchen. So we're just ignoring our Mishnah over here. It's a Mishnah Megillah. So we're ignoring the Mishnah. So Tosha says that what you have to do is you have to take three different Gemaras into account in terms of trying to make sense of which Kohanim can duchen. In fact, if I could just show you, we'll do this quickly, but it really is confusing, meaning the Gemara really give mixed messages in terms of which Kohanim should be duchening. Ve'in no se kapav. You see the Tosha's Chav Dalam and Aleph? Right? It's the second to last Tosha's on the Amud. Mashmaha imhevi beisaris yisa kapav. Okay, so if all you had was our Mishnah over here, so the conclusion would be that a gadol kohen cannot duchen. It's really that simple. V'kasha dosef dehaso perakam dechulan amar deino says kapav ad shiismale zikano. Meanwhile, the end of the first parak of chulin, the Gemara says that a kohen can duchen when and only when he has a beard. So in other words, even as a bar mitzvah boy, he can't dochen. He has to be older. So that's already confusing. But wait, we're not done yet. Ve'od kasha mashmaso perak lulav v'gazol. We go back to the end of the third parak of Sukkah, and katan yodeli says kapav cholkin lo truma begarin v'afilu katan mamish. That if you see a katan dochening, so now you can assume that he's a kohen, and you can give him truma, with the obvious implication that a katan can go ahead and duchen. Okay, so we're all over the place right now. Our Gemara says that bar mitzvah boy kohen can duchen, but anything less than that cannot. The Gemara in Chulin says that no, even a kohen bar mitzvah boy can't duchen. You have to be older. You have to have a beard. And the Gemara in Sukkah says that you can have a katan duchening, even a katan mamish. So it sounds like we're all over the place. So Tosha says, obviously what you have to do is you have to make sense of all these Gemaras. So Tosha writes, v'yesh lomar da'idu lulav agazomari, im kohanim gedolim lamod ulis chanech. So as far as the Gemara in Sukkah is concerned, so a kohen katan by himself cannot duchen. The Gemara over there was talking about al tzchinuch. So if there are adult kohanim there, so then you can have the young kohanim tagging along, and you're being mechanech them. And by the way, if you look up the Gemara in Sukkah over there, the whole context of that Gemara is in relationship to chinuch. So it's what Tosfos is saying is very mistaber. Now, as far as and over here, when we saying that a katan cannot duchen, that means that there's no gedolim, and now there's only kohen katan by himself cannot duchen. And v'ahi dechul and by milui zaken. Now, as far as the Gemara and Chulin is concerned, where the kohen has to have a beard in order to duchen, mare lisa kapav tadir bikvius. So to have him being our standard kohen duchener, if you will. So that is where we need somebody to be distinguished and to be older and to be more experienced. But just on a needed basis, but from time to time. So even if he's anywhere between bar mitzvah and beard, so then fine, you can have him duchen. But to be our kohen and to be our duchener, so that's somebody you need to be a bal zaken with a zakan. Afa pishalon esmal is zakan kedel achzukin afshe bekahane. Okay, so that is Tosfos' attempt to go ahead and make shalom between all these gemaras that give us definitely different reportings in terms of which kohanim could do the duchening. My time, we are now in the Gemara Chav Dalamud Aleph, 5-6 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So my time. So over here, the Baal Maftir. So what you have to do is you have to the haftarah is not that exciting. So you have to give more. And so in the mission, we gave a list of other things that we give him: parsal hashma, and davening for the amud. And if he he's the kohen, he'll duchen. Okay, but you got to give him more. Why do you have to give him more? So my timer. So I already gave half the Gemara away, but the Gemara now is going to give two different reasons why. So Rav Papa, I'm a Mishim Kavod. So Rav Papa says it's a question now of his kavod. Because if all you gave him is just the haftarah, so again, our sensibilities have totally and dramatically changed over the years. So it's hard for us to really understand the Gemara. Nowadays, you get haftarah and that's it. You're expected to sponsor Kiddush. Okay, so the back in the day, you got haftarah. And you're like, you need therapy. Like, it's, okay, it's good. So it's hard for us to, it's hard for us to relate. But that's, so the first svara of the Gemara is no, that's exactly the point. So in other words, all he got was haftarah. Okay, so give him more. Right? In other words, we have to worry about the person's kavod. We have to worry about everybody's kavod. So over here, you gave him haftarah, so give him more. You have to worry about his kavod. And Rabbi Barshimi Amra Misham de Asilin Suye. And so Rabbi Barshimi says, no, the issue is a different issue. And that is, so people are going to be fighting. So why are people going to be fighting? So as we're going to see clearly in the Gemara, because back in the good old days, this was a paid position. So in other words, so once now we're talking about getting some compensation for these activities. So now, oh, wait one second. Are you right? What are you doing? You want to daven for the Amud? And I want to daven for the Amud. Meaning, right, people got paid back in the good old days. Okay, so I understand people still get paid to this day, you know, if their voice is good. But anyway, but it was a paid position. So if we didn't lock in all these activities to the Baal Maftir, so people are going to be fighting. So my Beinai, so the Gemara says, Zika Beinai, David Bechinam. So the Gemara says, now the Nafka, I mean, it would be, let's say it's not a paid position. So if it's not a paid position, no one's going to be fighting over it. It's not that much work, but it's a little bit of work trying to get people to daven shachris and daven musaf and Baruch Hashem, we don't pay. Nobody's fighting for these things. And so so if it's bechinam, so you don't have to worry about fighting. However, you still, of course, have to worry about kavod, meaning so if back in the day when you got the haftarah, so that was, it was not that exciting, so you got to worry about his kavod. So that would be a simple nafkamina. So Tanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have two explanations in terms of why it is that the Baal Maftir gets a lot of consolation prizes. So Tanan, let's go back to our Mishnah. Vima Yakatan Aviva Rabba over Nal Yado. So so what happens if the Baal Maftir is a katan? So now who's going to be davening for the Amud? It can't be the katan. So the Mishnah told us. So you give it to his father, you give it to his Rebbe. So, now, if the issue is we're worried about fighting, like we're not worried about a child fighting. In other words, that shouldn't be a concern. Elamai mishum kavod. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go to your other explanation. Your other explanation was kavod. Katan bar kavod who? So there's a requirement to give kavod to a child. I mean, obviously, in other words, be respectful. But in other words, we don't have to worry about kavod of a katan. It's not, it doesn't become like our chief concern. So now the Gemara says, really the truth of the matter is either explanation seems to be lacking. So the Gemara says it's not lacking. So Ela Ika covered Aviv covered Rabbo. Because really, in other words, if there's a child over there with a parent, so it's true, you don't have to worry about the covet of the child, but you do have to worry about the covet of his parent. Meaning, so the parent's going to say, well, look, my child, that's all you did? You gave him haftarah? All right? Are you kidding me? Oh, no, don't worry. We're going to give you... You'll lead us in the davening. Okay, good. So in other words, so there's still going to be a covered issue because obviously the parent still, you have to worry about the covered of the parent. So achanami kinitsui aviv nitsui rabo. So the Gemara says, so we can also support the other explanation as well. Meaning you're worried about fighting? Yeah, we're going to be worried about fighting over here. The cotton's not going to fight, but his father for sure will. So fine. So either explanation works, even for the Mishnah, the section of the Mishnah that deals with the cotton. Pochech pares al shma. So somebody who's wearing shorts. So what can he do? So he can say the brachas of shma, but he can't daven for the amud. He can't read from the Torah. Okay, the word pochech. Now I say that he's wearing shorts. So the truth of the matter is that it's a much longer discussion, But Rashi over here is convinced that that's what we're talking about, meaning it's not just barefoot. In other words, there are legs that are being exposed as well. There's a Bach on the Amud Aleph today. I'm not going to go through it right now, but it's a long Bach that goes and explains why Rashi is insistent on the fact that the Pochech over here is talking about somebody wearing shorts. So somebody wearing shorts, right now I'm going to stay with Rashi, and Rashi's Pshat over here. There's also a Tosos on the Amud Aleph as well, but right now, just for the purposes of the Daf, I'll say it like Rashi. So if you're wearing shorts, you cannot daven for the Amud. When I say daven for the Amud, I mean Shmon Esrei Chazar Sashas. So Pocheach Pares Al Shma Bai Minei Ula Bar Rav Me'abai Kan Pocheach Mahu Sheikar B'Torah. So he can't daven from the Amud and he can't lean from the Torah. What if he's a Katan? So the Gemara says, Amar Leviti Bai Lacharum. So the Gemara says, why are you asking me about a Katan? Meaning, so right now, the consideration is that it's not... The cotton, it's not such a lack of kavod, or better stated right now, at least at this point in the Gemara, meaning it's not really an erva if it's a cotton. So the Gemara says, well, what if he's not wearing any clothing? So I'll run my time alone, mishum kavod at Sibor. So the Gemara says, because even though he's a cotton, and even though technically, right, it's not a gilui erva as a cotton, right? In other words, by the Mila, for example. I know I'm talking about an 8-day old, but still. The point is still going to be made. So by a Mila, so you have the erva right there, right, exposed. And meanwhile, we're making brachos, so obviously, in other words, at that pre-developed stage, it's not considered an erva. The issue over here is not erva. The issue over here is it's covered a Torah, covered Sibor. So in other words, so you have to be dressed a certain appropriate manner in order to be davening for the Amud, in order to be reading from the Torah. So achanami mishum covered Sibor. So over here, this is not an erva issue. This is a kavrat sibur issue. So over here, it doesn't matter whether it's an adult or whether it's a katan. If they're not wearing pants, it's just simply a lack of respect to go ahead and to be either davening for the Amud or reading from the Torah. Suma, now mind you, by the way, it's interesting because by Shema, so we said the pocheach can say the Shema. So, but obviously by Shema is not tefillah, right? Now when I say tefillah over here, I mean in the really halachic sense of representing us, dialoguing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning it's a statement. Shema is a statement, but it's on top of that, of course, it's a mitzvah, but it's not omid lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Davening amida is omid lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. So for that and for our representative, so he has to be somebody who's dressed appropriately. He's got to be wearing pants. And by the way, the Gemara clearly, the Mishnah clearly puts in the Baal Kari in that same category, meaning it's also a form of Amida, of Omid Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, so it's not just a question of covering Erva, it's a question of being appropriately dressed. Suma Paris Al Shema, Tanya. Amru Lo Rabbi Yehuda Arbe Tzafalu Josh Memrakav Lo Ra'u Sami Mehem. So here now we're going to go over the back and forth between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda about somebody who's blind and whether or not he could say the brachas of Shema. So again, the first bracha of Shema is Yotzei Amaros. So obviously that has to do with thanking Hashem for the sun, the moon, and all the luminaries that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And it's Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so Rabbi Yehuda says, and Rachmanis, if the person's blind, so he doesn't have that cognition. And so therefore, he can't be most of the other people. That's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So over here in the Braisa, what we're hearing is the Chachamim's response to Rabbi Yehuda. And the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yehuda, let me ask you a question. Ma'isa Merkava. So we all learn it. Okay, Halavai. But in other words, the first parak in Yecheskel. What are we talking about? We don't know what we're talking about. Meaning it's a really abstract parak in Navi. Talking about what's going on up in the Yeshiva Shomala. So did we ever see it? The answer, of course, is no. Do we understand it? To the best of our ability. Limited, of course, but yeah. So we understand it. So in other words, so as long as there's an abstract understanding of it, even though you don't concretely see it, so that works. So the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yehuda, same thing over here. So the blind person can't see the sun. Okay, but can he understand it from an abstract standpoint? The answer, of course, is yes. So the right, so it should be fine. So Rabbi Yehuda, Hasan Bab Nasa Deliba, Talia Milsa. The Hakamechav and the Adam. So Rabbi Yehuda will say, look, I see a very clear distinction between the two. When it comes to learning Maisa Merkava and understanding it to the best of our limited ability, So that's understanding. That's fine. Avahacha, but when it comes over here, Mishum Hanahu, Va'aleis Lehana. But Rav Yehuda says that I think the bracha of Yotze Amaros is a birchas Hana'a. And over here, if you're benefiting, then you could say the bracha and be motzi others. But if you're not benefiting, so then you're not in a position that you're just simply not a mechuyah bedavar. V'rabbanan, now the Chachamim will counter this argument as well. V'rabbanan, Islay Hana'a ki Rabbi Yossi, the Chachamim will tell you, no, there's Hana'a. We learned in a braisa, Amar Rabbi Yossi, kol yamaya isi mitzdar al-mikro zeh. You know, Rabbi Yossi says that this pasuk, it always bothered me. Okay, so it's part of the Tochacha. So the Tochacha, so one of the pasukim in the Tochacha say, just like a blind person in the dark. That's a really strange pasuk. And Rabbi Yossi struggles with that pasuk. What difference does it make for a blind person whether he's in a dark room or whether he's in a lit room? So, but Rabbi Yossi says, but at one point then I understood based on the following. And so I was walking and it was really dark at night and I saw a blind person and he was carrying a torch. So I asked him a simple question. Well, why do you have a torch? It doesn't help you. So obviously with better bedside manners. But so Amar li calls man shavuka biyadi. B'nei Adam Roman Osi Umasil Nosi Min HaPchasim Umin HaKotzim Umin HaBarkanim. So he says, look, when I'm carrying the torch, so it doesn't help me, but it does help me. Because what other people now are going to see is where I'm walking. In other words, then they're going to see that either I'm going to step on thorns or I'm going to step into a ditch. And so they're going to tell me to watch my step. So it will not be direct, but indirectly, I'm going to be benefiting from the light that I'm providing. So same thing over here, says the Chachamim back to, this is now Rav Yossi Zeinfeld. Now he understands. So the Rav Yossi says to the Chachamim, sorry, the Chachamim say to Rav Yossi, so even though he can't see, and even though he can't directly benefit from it, but he's benefiting it from it. The fact that other people can see will make his life a lot easier. And so that is considered enough hana'a, where now he's considered that he's getting the requisite hana'a, and therefore he could properly make the bracha and be motzi other people on the bracha of Yotzei Amaros.
Warmth of the sun. He's warm himself.
Yeah, yeah. It could be silver. Good. The bracha seems to be focusing more on the illumination. Right. Okay. Kohen sheish biyadov mumim lo yisas kapav. So, even though our parak is dedicated to mostly kriyas haTorah, but we did mention duchening. Right. It came in incidentally because we said that it's part of the consolation prize for getting haTorah. So you're going to be the duchener. So, for a moment now, for just a couple of moments here in the daf, so we're going to spend a little bit on the halachas of a kohen and duchening. So, kohen sheish biyado momim lo yisa es kapav. So, if the kohen has got any kind of clear, visible blemishes, so he shouldn't duchen. He should excuse himself from duchening. Okay, why? Rashi over here writes the following: kohen sheish biyado momim lefisha ha'am mistaklim bo, because attention will be drawn to his deformities. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Chagiga. I'm reading the Rashi. So the Gemara in Chagiga says that if somebody sees the hands of the Kohanim while they're giving the bracha, so that's where right now currently there's the Shechina, and so his eyes are going to be diminished as a result of having too much exposure to the Shechina. Okay, that's Rashi. So you take a look over here at, not here. Take a look at Tosus over there in Chagiga. So Tosus says no. In other words, that's not the pshat. Yes, that's a Gemara in Chagiga. You're right, that's a Gemara. But that's not the pshat here in our Mishnah. Because the Gemara in Chagiga, so that only is a, that's only a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Beis HaMikdash, you have Shechina. Okay, so there's what to talk about. But over here, outside the Beis HaMikdash, so you don't have this kind of Asheras HaShechina, it's not going to affect people's eyesights. What's going to happen, says Tosfos, and the Gemara, Tosfos over there in Chagiga. So he says it's going to be distracting. Hesach Hadas, meaning right now what should you be doing during Mirchas Kohanim? You should be focused. In other words, you're about right now receiving a bracha, you should be focused on the bracha you're receiving, thinking about the words that are being said. So, and if anything right now is diverting your attention, right, that's the world we live in right now. Okay, they're diverting our attention. So if anything's doing so, and if the Kohen himself is a eyesore, so then it's gonna distract you. That's the issue over here. So Tosfos, Okay, good. Well, right. So again, we view the Gemara through our lens, and right here I say that, you know, in the context of our Gemara, we view the Gemara through our lens, and everyone covers. In other words, the Kohanim are covered, the people are covered. It certainly seems like, and I don't know this, but it certainly seems like back in the day, the Kohanim would not necessarily cover. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we're back in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Mishaye Yadav Tzivuo. So it's not just a physical blemish, a physical deformity, but even if his hands are discolored, Satim, okay, various explanations of what they are, but various discolorations. Lo Yisas Kaba Mesha Amistak Limbo, because again, too much attention being diverted to his hands, and distraction will occur as a result of that. The Gemara starts off Tana. Now the Bach over here has what to say regarding the Girsa of the Gemara over here. He knocks out the first phrase, but I'll just read it. So Tana Mumim Shamar Bifanav Yadav Raglav. So when we're talking about blemishes and deformities, we're talking about in the exposed parts. Meaning obviously the Kohen's going to be dressed. Now his hands are going to be exposed. His feet are going to be exposed. So right, the Gemara here doesn't say it clearly. The Gemara elsewhere talks about, so the Kohen's going to be taking off his shoes. Right, nowadays we have these things called socks. But back in the good old days, so the feet were exposed. So when we're talking about deformities that are distracting, we're talking about the parts that are exposed. Obviously, if he has a deformity, but covered by his clothing, that's not an issue. So the issue over here is that he'll be an eyesore. So Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi Adabo Akaneas Lo Yisas Kapav. Rabbi Yehoshua says that if his hands are spotted, so again, that's distracting. Taina Mihachi Adabo Akaneas Lo Yisas Kapav. Akumos Akushos Lo Yisas Kapav. So if the hands are just simply bent in an odd position, so once again, it's an eyesore, and therefore, it's too distracting. Amar Avasi Chifni, Lo Yisa Es Kapav. So Chifni, Rashi says, you're from Haifa. So if you come from the town of Haifa, so you can't dochen. Now, why would that be? So stay tuned. The Gemara is about to explain. Okay, it doesn't literally mean today, nowadays, someone from Haifa. Tayin Amihachi, we learned in the Brisa, in Moridin Lifnei Atev, Lo Anshei Beis Sha'an, Velo anche Beis Chafa, velo anche Tivonim. So people from the towns of Beit Sha'an or Haifa or Tivon, so they shouldn't be davening for the Amud. So Mimesha Koran la Alafim Ayanim, va'ala Ayanim Alafim. Because if you can imagine, they don't know how to make distinctions between the Aleph and the Ayin. Right? Can you imagine such a group of people? Okay, that's pretty much every Jew I know. So, okay, good. So they're obviously, some of us Jews have done a better job maintaining a Masorah. There clearly is a Masorah that the Ayin and the Aleph are not to be pronounced the same. The Aleph is silent. The Ayin is guttural. Okay, good. What do we know from that? So we unfortunately have lost a Masorah in terms of pronouncing our Ayins. We just keep the Ayin silent. Okay, so what can I tell you? That's, right, in today's daf, we've seen numerous examples of, you know, things certainly have changed over the years, and unfortunately, we are in direct, this is unfortunate to say, but we are in direct opposition to the Gemara, where the Gemara clearly tells us that the Aleph and the Ayin are not to be pronounced the same, and that's what we do. It's unfortunate, but that's just the reality. So so people from these towns, so back then, they can actually point to a small segment of the Jewish population who don't know how to make a distinction, right? Unfortunately, right now, it's the opposite. Most of the Jewish people do not know how to make a distinction, I being one of them. So, Amar le Rabbi Chila, Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, Ilmale ata Levi, posel ata min adochen mishum, da'ave kalech. So, Rabbi Chila says to Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, if you were a Levi, had you been a Levi, there's no way you'd be on the dochen and singing during the avoda. Why? Because your voice is terrible. Okay, now, right, sometimes, you know, truth doesn't always need to be stated. And, you know, and there is something to be said about, you know, being a little bit more discreet. But, okay, right now we're being thrown into a middle of a conversation. So I don't know what the antecedent was. And, okay, so we don't have enough context. But, okay, anyway, a truth has been uttered. Okay, your voice is terrible. Okay, and you wouldn't be singing with the Levium. If you were a Levi. So thank God you're not a Levi. So da'ave kalech. So he went back home and he reported to his father. You wouldn't believe what the insult I received today in school. He told me that my voice is terrible. So Amar Lezil Emalei. So the father says to him, okay, nu, okay, so let me help you in terms of how you should respond. And that's Keshadam Magia Eitzel Vechikisi Lashem, Lonim says Mecharif Megadev. So he says, look, you get to the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, where Vechikisi Lashem, and we're waiting for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he is unable to make a distinction between a Ches and a Hey. And so instead of saying Vechikisi, he says Vihikisi, and now you put those two words together with the word Lashem, and then it's Mecharif Megadev, you're blaspheming, right? You're striking a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Hungarian.
Oh, okay, good, good, good. So the in other words, so he's commenting on how bad your voice is. So you can respond and say how bad your pronunciation is. Okay, again, what's happening over here? Right? Why are insults being flown in both directions? I don't know, but contextually, it fits perfectly within our Gemara, because our Gemara is talking about where if you're responsible to say the words properly, so you have to be able to say the words properly. Am Rav Huna, Zavagan. And by the way, I'm just going over this in my head. I just want to make sure I'm saying this clearly. Meaning by the Baal Tefillah, we certainly understand why you have to pronounce correctly. Also the Kohen as well. So yeah, in other words, when you're Kohen, you also have to say correctly. Because again, by giving the bracha, so you're expected to say three psukim in the Torah, and you're expected to pronounce them correctly. So that's why correct pronunciation is not just limited to a shliach tzibur, not just limited to the Baal Kare, but even for the Kohen Duchening as well. Am Rav Huna Zaval Gan Lo Yisas Kapav. Okay, and from here until the upcoming Mishnah, we're going to be talking about things that could be distracting. So let's say that the Kohen tears up a lot. In other words, I'm not talking about crying, but whatever. He has a lot of discharge coming out from his eye. So it's distracting, and so therefore he shouldn't duchen. So the Gemara says, yeah, in Rav Huna's community, so he had somebody who had a lot of discharge coming out of his eye, and he was duchening. So the Gemara says, Hodash B'irohu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but he's a regular here in our town. Everybody's used to seeing him. So the only thing that's distracting, which is something which is an anomaly. But if it's something that we're used to seeing, so then everyone's used to it. It's not going to distract people. And the Brisa makes exactly this distinction. That if you have somebody who for the first time you see him, it's going to be odd. But if he's a regular and we're all used to it, okay, good, so it won't be distracting. I'm Rav Yochanan Suma Bachas Meinav Lo Yisas Kapav. So somebody who's blind in an eye should not be duchening. Now, when we say blind in one eye, probably what the Gemara means is that it's obvious, meaning it's not just that he can't see, it's that people know that he can't see. In other words, maybe it's cross-eyed, something along those lines. So, So the Gemara says, in Rav Yochanan's community, you had somebody who had this clearly visible impairment of, let's say it's cross-eyed. I'm not sure if I'm right, but it doesn't matter. So let's say it's cross-eyed. So Ahu Dash B'Irohu. So the Gemara says again, same thing. Everybody knows him. Everyone's used to it. And again, the Braisa makes the same exact point. Okay, now, Dash B'Irohu. So if we're all used to it, so therefore it's okay. Now, is this qualification going to go back to our Mishnah as well? Meaning, in the Mishnah's examples, where he has clear deformities, so it right on his hand, right. So is Dash B'Yiro going to be okay in the Mishnah's examples, or is Dash B'Yiro just limited to these last examples that we saw of having a little too much discharge coming out of his eye, being a little bit cross-eyed? So I'm not clear. I don't know. I'm raising the question. I'm not sure. Rav Yehuda Amar Misha Yadav Tzvos Lo Yisas Misha Hayu Yadav Tzvos Lo Yisas Kapav. If your hands are discolored, so that's already too distracting according to Rav Yehuda. The Gemara comments Tana Im Rov Anshe Ha'ir Malachtam Mekach Muter. Okay, let's say everyone in the city is pretty much working at the same factory, and everyone's hands are discolored in the same manner. So that's no longer called an abnormality. That's called in our town normal. So over here, if it's normal, so good. So then it won't be distracting. I know we seem to be saying the same point again and again with just different examples. Okay. Let's do one more Mishnah and one more Gemara. Ha'omer eini over lefnei ateva b'tzivon af b'levanim lo yavar. Let's say the person says that I'm not going to go and daven for the amud in clothing that has colors on it. Okay. If you can imagine. Okay. I know my ensemble is very black and white. But it's just, you know, it's a look I'm going for. But you know, wearing colored shirts is perfectly fine. And the Mishnah, right? You're right. It does depend where you are. So the but the point of the Mishnah is that if this person now is making these silly statements, I'm only going to be davening for the I refuse to daven for the Ummon in a colored shirt. So at that point in time, you say, you know what? Even if you're wearing white shirts, you can't daven for the Ummon. Now, why? We'll get to it in just a moment. Bisandal eino over af yachav. Lo yavor. Bisandal eino over af yachav lo yavor. If he says that I'm not going to daven for the Ummon in sandalim, so even if he's barefoot, you're not gonna allow him to daven for the Ummon. Again, we're going to give an explanation in just a moment. Now, let's say you decide that you want to wear round tefillin. And we're talking specifically over here about the tefillin shel rosh. So not only did you not fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, but on top of that, it's a sakana as well. Because now that it's not a flat base that is sitting on your head, but rather circular, so now you have a pressure point, and so then the tefillin gets banged into your head, and rechmanis can go into your head. So now you not only don't have the mitzvah, but also it's a sakana as well. What I said is Rashi's pshat. Tosfos gives a somewhat different pshat, but again, I presented the mission like Rashi. Nitna mitzchoa pas yadar is a derech aminus. Now let's say you decide that you're going to take your tefillin shorosh and you're going to put it right between your eyes. So you are a heretic, meaning that's not the Torah Shabbat Peh, that's not our mesara, and so it is a derech minus. And if you just take your tefillin shel yad and you put it actually on your hand, we're talking about the bias, and you put it on your hand and not on your bicep, so you're a min, you're a heretic, meaning that's not our mesara. Tzipan zav nasal beis unkali shelo harizeh derech achitzonim. Let's say you put a layer of gold on top of your tefillin, so that's not a mesara. Or you put it over your sleeve. Once again, that's not a mesara. And derech achitzonim, you're off the reservation. You're not a mamin in Chazal in our Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay, obviously not good. Okay, my time up. So over here, the person is demanding that he has certain akpadas. I am not davening for the Ummon in a colored shirt. So the Mishnah says, disqualified. Even if he wears a white shirt, it's a silly hakpada, and he's disqualified. So the Mishnah didn't give an explanation. It demands an explanation. So that's what the Gemara is now going to do. So my time, chayshin Hashem aminus nizrikabo. Okay, so if he's making these silly hakpadas, so at that point in time, you have to now be concerned that he's part of the clan, but he's not part of the clan. Right? Rashi writes over here, Hashem aminus nizrikabo, aminim over the avarazar makpidim bekach. Because these are idolatrous thought processes and idolatrous practices that I can only daven for the Ummon with a white shirt. So again, I'm not giving the modern sensibilities over here, but Bisman the Mishnah. So this is the way I over the Avodah Zarah thought. And so over here, if he's having these kinds of akpadas, you have to worry now that he is really way off the reservation, and so he shouldn't be the one leading us in the davening. And I would imagine the same thing is true regarding the sandalim. Right, I'm only davening for the Ummon in sandalim. So then at that point in time, it's a silly hakpada. And so basically, no. Mind you, by the way, it's pretty clear in our Mishnah that you don't have to wear shoes. Meaning, now we already discussed on the Ummon Aleph of today's daf. Pants, that's a requirement. Meaning, covered.
To the
yeah, but our Mishnah over here clearly is talking about overlift ne'ateva. I hear what you're saying, but the Mishnah is clearly talking about davening for the Ummon. Right. So the yeah, right, and your point that was a Bach that I didn't do this morning. So if you go back to the Ummon Aleph and you see the Bach, he makes exactly your point. Okay, so anyway, so the it comes out now is that again, so for silly hakpadas. So we have to be concerned, says the Gemara, that that's minus. It's heresy. Avodah Zarah, says Rashi, and that's why at that point in time, no, thank you. So let's take our Mishnah and put it together with a Braisa. The Braisa says tefillin merubas halach l'moshe mesinai. So the fact that tefillin have to be square, so you're not going to see that in the Torah. You'll see very little in the Torah regarding a description of the tefillin. There is no description of the tefillin in the Torah. right? The halachas of tefillin are mostly halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. So fine, so the fact that they're square, it's halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. Ve'amar Rava b'tifran v'alach sonan. And Rava says that when you stitch it up, so it has to be square. So the and you have to maintain the integrity of its geometric shape, even as you stitch it up. So the so now what comes out over here is that you could take our Mishnah and you could take the Braisa and it's a match. And so we have the Mishnah supporting the Braisa and the Braisa supporting the Mishnah, and it all seems good. So Amar Rapapa says not necessarily, meaning he's not arguing with any point that we said. It's just that it doesn't have to be that our Mishnah is supporting the Braisa. Because Masitz and David Akiyam Guza, because as far as our Mishnah is concerned, so our Mishnah is talking about where it's round like a nut. But if it's oval in shape, maybe our Mishnah would be okay with it. Meaning, mind you, it's not okay. But just to say that our Mishnah is supporting the Braisa, you don't have to say that. Okay, it's a point to consider. Obviously, the halacha is unequivocal. The tefillin have to be square in shape. But just in terms of using our Mishnah to support this, not necessarily. Okay, Adkan. We'll stop over here. Let's just quickly recap a lot of different topics that we covered today. Again, the number of psukim that you have to read in an aliyah is going to be 3 psukim, but the targum, you got to go pasuk by pasuk with the Balkari and the targum. Again, targum, a lost art that the Gemara spent a little bit of time discussing today. Fine. Skipping around in the Torah, so the conclusion of the Gemara is, yes, you can, however. Number one, there can be no dead time between the targum and the next place that you skip to. And number two, it has to be thematically the same theme. Now, you're allowed to skip around the Navi. There's more flexibility over there. You can go me'inyan le'inyan, but there still could be no dead time. You have to worry about tircha d'tzibura. The person getting maftir and reading the Haftarah. So the Mishnah's attitude clearly is nebuch. Okay. New. It's not a position of kavod. So therefore, what you want to do is you have to worry about the person's kavod, and therefore you give them other assignments to ensure as well, because we have to worry about the person's kavod. That's one explanation. The Gemara gives another explanation. We're worried about fighting. Okay. Anyway, so that was the Mishnah on Chavdal Amid Aleph, and also the dress requirement. You have to be properly dressed for Kriyas HaTorah. And for Chazar Sashatz, it's an issue of covered at Tzibor, so all your legs have to be covered. You cannot be wearing shorts and being davening and davening for the Amud. Okay, the Mishnah ended off with the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether or not a Suma is in a position where he could say the brachas of Shema and be motzi others with that bracha. Tanakhama says he can. Rabbi Yehuda says he cannot. And the machlokes is the amount of hana'a that the Summa gets from the lights, from the luminaries, is that going to qualify for him to be considered to be a Baal Hana'a so that he can make the brachas? The Tanakhama says it's enough Hana'a, and Rav Yehuda says, no, it's not enough Hana'a. And then we talked about deformities and distractions. The Mishnah says that if a Kohen has deformities on the exposed parts of his body, where it will serve as a distraction. Rashi wrote over here, we saw the Rashi inside, that we have to be worried about Hashras Hashchina. And if you're looking right at it, so it'll dim your eyes. Tosus in Chagiga says no. The issue over here is just simply Hesach Hadas. You have to be focused on the bracha, and anything that's going to distract you is going to take away from your focus. That's the issue over here. It's Hesach Hadas. Either way, so if the Kohen has clear deformities, so therefore he cannot duchen. However, as we learned in the Gemara, if they are deformities but we are used to them, so then it would be okay. Right, an overgeneralization, but that's the basic summary of the Gemara, and finally, the Levi has to have a good voice if he's going to be singing for at the Avodah. Yeah, we talked about that as well. And finally, our last topic of discussion this morning was if you see somebody diving for the Amud, but he's got these silly hakpadas, so that's a tell, and that's a clue, and that it's somebody that we don't want davening for the Amud because he could be a min. And finally, in terms of tefillin, so there are other heretical views in terms of how the tefillin should be worn, where they should be worn on the body, the shape of the tefillin. So those are also heretical views. And on top of that, in other words, it's both heretical view. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah. And if he's wearing a round tefillin on his head, it's also sakana as well.